He must have been gouging for half an hour when an idea seemed to strike him. Pushing all the forceps to one side, he almost ran from the room and reappeared shortly with a tray on which reposed a long chisel and a metal mallet. At a sign from him, the WAF wound the chair back till I was completely horizontal. Seemingly familiar with the routine, she cradled my head in her arms in a practiced manner and stood waiting. This couldn't be true, I thought, as the man inserted the chisel into my mouth and poised the mallet. But all doubts were erased as the metal rod thudded against the remnants of my tooth and my head in turn shot back into the little WAF's bosom. And that was how it went on. I lost count of the times the butcher banged away, and the girl hung on grimly to my jerking skull. The thought uppermost in my mind was that I'd always wondered how young horses felt when I knocked wolf teeth out of them. Now, I knew. When it finally stopped, I opened my eyes, and though by this time I was prepared for anything, I still felt slightly surprised to see the butcher threading a needle with a length of suture silk. He was sweating and looking just a little desperate, as he bent over yet again. "Just a couple of stitches," he muttered hoarsely, and I closed my eyes again. When I left the chair, I felt very strange indeed. The assault on my cranium had made me dizzy, and the sensation of the long ends of the stitches tickling my tongue was distinctly odd. I was sure that when I came out of the room I was staggering, and instinctively I pawed at my mouth. The first man I saw was Simkin. He was where I had left him, but he looked different as he beckoned excitedly to me. I went over and he caught at my tunic with one hand.
"What do you think, mate?" he gasped. "They've chased me round, and I've got to go into room 4.
He gulped.
"You look bloody awful coming out here. What was it like?"
I looked at him. Maybe there was going to be a gleam of light this morning. I sank into the chair next to him and groaned. "My God, you weren't kidding. I'd never met anybody like that. He's half killed me. They don't call him the butcher for nothing."
"Why? What did he do?"
"Well, nothing much. Just knocked my tooth out with a hammer and chisel, that's all."
"Gaya me on!"
Simkin made a ghastly attempt to smile.
"Word of honour,"
I said. "Anyway, there's the tray coming out now. Look for yourself." He stared at the WAF carrying the dreadful implements and turned very pale.
"Oh, blimey. Well, what else did he do?"
I held my jaw for a moment. "Well, he did something I've never seen before. He made such a great hole in my gum that he had to stitch me up afterwards." Simkin shook his head violently.
"Nah, I'm not having that. I don't believe you."
"All right," I said.
"What do you think of this?"
I leant forward, put my thumb under my lip, and jerked it up to give him a close-up view of the long gash and the trailing, blood-stained ends of the stitches. He shrank away from me, lips trembling, eyes wide.
"Gold," he moaned. "Oh, gold."
It was unfortunate that the WAF chose that particular moment to call out, "AC2, Simkin!" piercingly from the doorway, because the poor fellow leapt as though a powerful electric current had passed through him. Then, head down, he trailed across the room. At the door, he turned and gave me a last, despairing look, and I saw him no more. This experience deepened my dread of the 5 fillings which awaited me. But I needn't have worried. They were trivial things, and were efficiently and painlessly dealt with by RAF dentists very different from the butcher. And yet, many years after the war had ended, the man from room 4 stretched out a long arm from the past and touched me on the shoulder. I began to feel something sharp coming through the roof of my mouth, and went to Mr. Grover, who x-rayed me and showed me a pretty picture of that fateful root, still there, despite the hammer and chisel. He extracted it, and the saga was ended. The butcher remained a vivid memory, because, apart from my ordeal, I was constantly reminded of him by the dangerous wobbling of my pipe at the edge of that needless gap in my mouth. But I did have a small solace. I finished my visit to room 4 with a parting shaft which gave me a little comfort. As I tottered away, I paused and addressed the big man's back as he prepared for his next victim. "By the way," I said, I knocked out a lot of teeth, just like you did there. He turned and stared at me.
Really? Are you a dentist?
No, I replied over my shoulder as I left.
I'm a vet.
Chapter 4 I like women better than men. Mind you, I have nothing against men. After all, I am one myself. But in the RAF, there were too many of them. Literally thousands. Jostling, shouting, swearing. You couldn't get away from them. Some of them became my friends and have remained so until the present day, but the sheer, earthy mass of them made me realize how my few months of married life had changed me. Women are gentler, softer, cleaner, altogether nicer things, and I, who always considered myself one of the boys, had come to the surprising conclusion that the companion I wanted most was a woman.